Hey, thanks for stopping by. It's the least you can do.
Ron Van Dam. He podcasts because he cares about having something to do every morning while that first pot of coffee is brewing. Once that's ready, you, my friend, are on your own. You're listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Yes, I happen to like that. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'll be entertaining you for the next half hour by juggling, doing some pantomime, contorting my body into a small box. All those things. It is a Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I can prove it. Here's my vaccination card. Not only have I been vaccinated against the corona, the flu, but I also take vitamins every day. They're chewable because I'm not swallowing those things anymore. If you make it chewable, I will have my vitamins. If you build it, I will come. Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, my God. Please sit down. The applause is deafening. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. I haven't even done anything yet, but thank you. Please sit down. Please sit down. Please. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Please sit down. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I am. Thank you. Okay. That's enough. This is embarrassing. This is very embarrassing. Please sit. Thank you. Thank you. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I could do this for half an hour. You wouldn't listen, but I could do it. Welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you here. I don't know how to thank you, so I won't. I'm going to entertain you. I don't know how. I haven't figured that part out yet, but I'll get to it. Oh, what a crazy world this is, huh? Have you noticed how crazy the world is? Have you stopped to think about just how crazy and nuts this thing is? Oh, it's been a rough few years. What with Trump becoming president? Seriously? That's a joke, right? And then the coronavirus, which now apparently just isn't going away. I mean, oh my God. That's crazy. Now I find out that the planet is deteriorating faster than we thought it was, and we're all up Schitt's Creek. Whoa, slow it down. Prices have gone up on everything. Have you tried to put gas in your car? The nozzle doesn't fit anymore. It's you know that rapper 50 Cent? He changed his name to 75 Cent. Everything's going up in price. It's unbelievable. I went to the dollar store yesterday. Everything in there is $1.50 now. What's going on now? Seriously? I went down the cereal aisle. There was a big sign there in the cereal aisle saying, don't bother, you can't afford this stuff anymore. It said that right on the aisle. Don't bother buying this, you can't afford it. Wow. Wow. Even prostitutes have gone up in price. Or they kept the same price, but they don't satisfy you as much. You're not getting as much for your money anymore. Oh my God, really? It's one prostitute that I've been seeing like for like 40 years now, and she uses a street walker. She uses a walker. I'm kidding. I don't use prostitutes. I don't have to. Never did. I don't know if you know that. You don't really have to pay them. Eventually, they'll track you down and kill you. But in the meantime, you can just say you're going to the bathroom and slip out through the window, that kind of thing. Anyway, what the hell am I talking about? You made me say that. You made me say that. All right. It was better off just playing the applause track, wasn't I? Yeah, I should have stuck with that. Later on in the program, I have a guest who's written a book that outlines just how much trouble we're in with this planet. I know you're getting a little tired of that topic, but I'll tell you, is there a topic that's more important than that? I mean, the planet is like falling apart. It's okay. I'll just go to Venus. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I live in the Boston area. Yesterday, there was an air quality alert on my cell phone. I guess the air quality of my cell phone is going to be bad. It alerted me that don't go outside. The air quality is very bad today. And I thought, okay, it's the summer. It's probably a temperature inversion or something that happens in the summer. The air quality gets bad when it gets really hot outside. But no, this air quality alert had to do with the forest fires on the west coast of the United States. California, Canada, all that stuff. The whole western part of the United States is burning up again. Well, so much so that all that smoke has come all the way over to the east coast of the United States. That's some big wildfires. That freaked me out. Oh boy, that's not good. The oceans are rising. The storms are more intense. Whoa, huh? Yesterday, Jeff Bezos, do you know who he is? Bezos, very close to Bozo, but it's Bezos. He owns Amazon and you. He actually owns you. I don't know if you knew that, but he said, no, nobody owns me, Ron. Yeah, Jeff Bezos does. He owns many companies, Amazon being the biggest, because Amazon actually owns the world. He's a billion upon billion upon billion, billions and billions billionaire. He's got more money than God. And actually, if you Google Jeff Bezos, it shows his net worth. And if you Google God, you'll see Jeff Bezos makes a lot more than he does, or she, whatever. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. He built a spacecraft with his company, and they're going to be using it eventually to shuttle people into orbit so they can experience weightlessness and all this and make some money. So Jeff Bezos Amazon doesn't pay taxes, and a lot of people are pissed about that. Pay your fair share. I mean, I do. I pay a certain percentage of my income goes into taxes. And if I don't pay, then people show up at my door dressed in black suits, and I don't know what they do with me or my soul, but I don't want to find out. It's intimidating. Jeff Bezos, I have a lot of money. I have billions and billions of dollars. Pay taxes? I don't think so. And people are pissed about that, and well, they should be. And I don't understand why he doesn't pay taxes. He gets a lot of tax breaks to the point where it goes down to zero because he employs a lot of people. I think he employs 500,000 people globally. That's a big company. That's bigger than Toys R Us. And they went out of business. Big deal. So anyway, but what people don't understand is Jeff Bezos gives away hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every year to various causes. And one of his greatest causes is saving the planet. He just after he did this this 10-minute space flight thing with himself, his brother, and two other people, and quite an achievement. He announced $200 million. He was given away in order to give it to people that can champion causes that can make life better for us and save the planet. So Jeff Bezos gives away tons and tons and tons and tons of money. I guess that's his way of paying taxes. I really don't know. But in any event, my guest a little bit later in the program is going to explain that, you know, we thought we had like a number of decades to solve this problem. We don't. It's happening now. It's happening quicker than we thought. So that's happening. I don't even want to talk about it because it's depressing. And that's why we drink, right? That's why we drink. That's why during the pandemic, the liquor stores were essential businesses. That's why that explains everything. Do you know the biggest change in our social manners was not necessarily social distancing or quarantining or staying at home? It was that we started drinking earlier in the day. That was the big result of the pandemic. Let me tell you something. I started drinking earlier in the day when Trump became president. That was when I started drinking early. Yeah, I'm talking 7 in the morning. thank God that thing's over. Hopefully that's over. Trump is considering running for president in 2024. Look, we better save the planet because I got no place to go. Ron, you know, the planet is falling apart beneath you. That's okay. I can always go to Venus. No, Ron, you can't go to Venus. We haven't figured that out. Uh-oh. I thought I would just get a summer home on Jupiter or something. No, Ron. No. That's not going to work out. I've said this before. If there are alien beings from another galaxy somewhere out in space or whatever you call that universe thing, if there are aliens that visit the planet, I think they're probably travel advisories for other civilizations. Don't go to Earth. Don't go to Earth. They are screwed up. You don't want to go to Earth. If you're going to vacation, go to Alpha Centauri or some other. Go to the Milky Way, man. The nice beaches. Earth, you don't want to go there. It looks pretty, but whoa, that place is fucked up. Yeah, it's got a bad rep. We got a bad rep here. Anyway, wow. Huh. It's hard to believe we're coming to the end of July. Time is moving so quickly. I wish we could just slow things down a bit. Wouldn't it be nice to slow things? When you're having a good time, when things are going well, slow things down. When you're really bored and you're sitting in a classroom waiting for the school day to end, speed things up. The biggest mistake I ever made in my life was going to school and sitting in a classroom, and there'd be a boring teacher standing in front of the class spouting out some kind of crap, you know, about history or math or science or something stupid, you know, just blurting out words. No one was caring what the goddamn teacher was saying. You know, there was nothing, this is just boring. And I would just stare at the clock. Every classroom had a clock on the wall, which was not a good idea. Classrooms should be like casinos. Don't remind people how torturous this thing is second by second. The clock in the classrooms that I went in school I went to actually had second hands, so it was like even more agonizing. But I just watched that clock all day, just watched the little seconds tick away. I even figured out at one point how many seconds there were during a certain class, so I could just like watch them tick away. What a waste of freaking time. And then you get older, and we all do it. If we're lucky, if we're lucky, we get older. And then we always say to ourselves, wow, man, I wasted so much valuable time. Time's going faster now. And when I was in school, I just wasted that stuff. There are always the human beings, and I know some of them, who love school so much that they think school was the best part of their lives. Just sitting there and listening to somebody talk at them for like 2 hours in every class for like 6-7 hours a day. Those people, I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand the term continuing education. I know there are a lot of people that love that. They just want to learn all of their lives. Look, I'd rather learn from somebody telling me something that they did than from some person standing in front of a classroom just rattling things off as the second hand ticks away on a clock. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. If you're going to talk about George Washington in history class, damn it, go to the costume store, buy a George Washington costume, get the powdered wig, it's not hard to find, and dress up like George Washington, stand in front of the classroom. Not only will I listen to you, but I will malign you behind your back. What a pathetic idiot you really are. But at least I was listening to the lecture. I know some teachers married to a teacher, and it's a horrendously difficult, horrible job. Yeah, you get the summers off, but what you go through during the other parts of the year is like torture. Do you know why it's torture? Because kids are nasty. And even if you have a lot of good kids in your classroom, it's the two or three assholes that ruin your life. There's probably no more admirable profession than teaching, because as we grow up, we remember the teachers that really made an impression on us. And for me, it was the female teachers that wore short skirts. Oh, I'll never forget them. Sounds sexist, but hey, that's part of growing up. All right. Thanks for putting up with that part of the show. that was weird, wasn't it, huh? Yes. Sometimes I actually listen to myself. Not often, but sometimes I'll listen to myself. And when it's over, I'll sit back in the chair and I'll go, "Woo! How the hell did I pull that one off?" So, whoa, that was weird. All right, my guest is coming up momentarily. First, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this planet and see what the hell's going on with this thing. She's the author of a fascinating book. And it just opens your eyes. A lot of things open my eyes, but that really opens my eyes.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots. And they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
So yesterday, this was this Jeff Bezos thing where he actually left the Earth's atmosphere, went into orbit for 3 minutes with weightlessness. But this capsule had windows in it, and you could look out onto the planet Earth, and it's just an incredible sight, said Jeff Bezos in his post-flight interview. He said, "If everybody in the world could look down on the Earth and see how beautiful it is, but also see how fragile it is." He said it moves you inside with an emotion that you could never feel otherwise. This planet is so precious. And he said, I will do everything I can, spend as much money as I need to save this planet and to utilize the people on this planet that can make a difference in our existence. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it probably is the case if we all could look down on this planet actually physically and see what it is and how fragile it really is as well, and what we're doing to it right now, I think we would all come together and fix this fast. Let's speak to our guest.
Hi, good morning, Ron. I'm excited to be here.
Great to have you here. Well, we're talking with Marina Pissarros, who is an author, The Atlas of Disappearing Places. She's a sustainability expert. What is that, Marina?
So I have been working in climate change adaptation and mitigation and for about 15 years now. And this book is my way of talking about where we are now and where we can be in the future with the people and the places and the animals and the experiences that we love,
yes,
which are disappearing because of climate change.
Yes, I think half the world realizes that and the other half doesn't. I don't know how to convince the other half, but I think I have to do that. It's a very scary thing, and it's sometimes more than I can wrap my head around when I look at how we destroyed our own good thing because of basic social stupidity. But anyway, that's so much for my opinion.
I think your opinion is shared by so many people, and there's such a sense of frustration.
Yeah.
As you know, if you look around, you just think, oh my God, why is this happening? It's
yes.
possible for it not to happen. And that's what this book is about. I actually, I have a family who lives all over the country and with all kinds of political views. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what Thanksgiving is like around our table. And this book is actually a lot for my whole family.
Good.
And us sitting around that table. So instead of talking about
Good.
Politics, let's get back to this. Things that we actually care about. So.
Yes. Well, let's get back to what's real and happening as opposed to what's a ridiculous theory. I mean, this is really happening. And ever since we had a situation where there's not just one truth, there are many truths. It was like on the same thing. No, that's not the way that works. One is the truth and the other things are not. But that's my concern. Here's my other concern, Marina, is things seem to be falling apart a lot faster than I thought. We're hitting records every single year on oceans rising, on warming, on storm intensities, temperatures. I mean, all of a sudden, we're breaking records all over the place. I don't know if that's cyclical, but it certainly doesn't make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true. It is happening faster than we thought. And that's probably one of the scariest things for me. And it actually takes quite a bit to scare me at this point because I've been working with this data and information and then this field for a while. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is I see a lot of research about how, you know, how all of the things that scientists have been predicting, they're happening earlier than we thought they would. And we're getting closer and closer to these scary, like, tipping points that we don't really understand what happens when we go beyond them. So if you think about melting at the polar caps, those are tipping points where we just don't know how bad it could get.
I mean, it's not like I agree. It's not like we're all going to drown or anything like that. It's that we won't have food. We won't be able to sustain, et cetera. Those are the effects of it, not necessarily being hit by a floodwater, although that happens too.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a little bit like, so a lot of folks in my world call that the slow moving emergencies because, it's hard to get people to pay attention to slow moving emergencies like sea level rise. You know, sometimes we pay attention to the fast emergencies, like, you know, where I am in California, fire and flood and drought. And you see that in a lot of other areas as well, especially like hurricane, increased storm frequency and then huge downpours, like what just happened to Europe and what's happened through Harvey and other hurricanes. And it's one of these areas where I think it is scary and it is also extremely sad. And we have to like just feel that grief, address it, and then actually turn our attention to what we can save and the things that we can do. I feel like a lot of folks get stuck in that fear or that sadness and then turn away. But there's actually a ton of stuff that each of us as individuals can do. And not just the consumer. So I think about it in three general buckets, which I write about in the book, The Atlas. There's three areas of power that a lot of people don't really think too much about, right? You, what you do as a consumer, what you do as a community member, and what you do as a citizen. And I think people are maybe most familiar with what we do as consumers, right? Yes. You can eat less meat, you know, lower plastic consumption. But there's so much that you can do. Like, you know, your community is your listeners, right? And so having me on the show is one thing that you're doing to raise the issue of climate change, right? And then folks who are driving to work or on their lunch break, they're part of communities at their work or with their PTA in their church, and they're able to, like, talk about this issue and figure out what their church, PTA, et cetera, can be doing on climate change as well. And then the third area is, you know, as a citizen, which is making sure that our elected officials, everyone from, you know, your local town through the federal system, know that this is a nonpartisan issue. We should not be politicizing climate change. We're all in the boat together, and they work for us and should be finding solutions and putting them into place for us.
Yes. There's so much to talk about, and they only give me 10 minutes with you. I need 10 hours, but I guess we'll just have to read the book. It's interesting that the question being asked is, should we be scared or should we be hopeful? And I think maybe the two can be married together.
I think they can be. I don't know if you have children. I do. And so I'm both scared and hopeful about them when they go to college.
Yes.
I need to save for it. That's the scary part.
That's
but the
scary.
Hopeful part is that if I, you know, the earlier I start doing that saving, the more options they'll have when they get to college. And so it's one thing that I think about is that climate change planning is a little bit like saving for college. You know it's coming. It's going to be hideously expensive, possibly. And there's a lot you can do now to get ready for that, to set your kids up for the best future possible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar to what we have here.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us will be long gone before this becomes tumultuous, but at the same time, you're leaving behind your people, so you got to be concerned. In the book, you talk about the year 2050. Why is that is that a pinpoint or a generality?
Because I hope to be alive in 2050 by all reasonable measures. I should be alive. And so will a lot of the readers. Mm-hmm. And I think that people do sometimes think, oh, it's far off. I don't need to deal with that now. But as we're seeing through, you know, through the last couple of years of extreme weather, it's actually happening now. Mm-hmm. 2050 is right around the corner. And there is a lot that we can be doing now. I also chose 2050 because the with each of the places that we talk about, we, you know, we sort of tell the story of that place. And we also talk about it from like a reasonable future. And in those reasonable futures in the Alice, we made sure that it's all technology and information and, you know, tools that we have now. So we don't need to wait around for some magical new invention to save us. We actually just need to pick up what's around us now and start applying it to this problem. So 2050 is to pull that year close enough that we don't make up fantasy worlds or fantasy things that don't exist. Yeah. Like, we can get there.
It kind of doesn't take much. I mean, you look at the Earth and it's mostly water and ocean, and that's not the globe didn't always look like this, ladies and gentlemen. Millennials didn't always look like this. And the waters are rising and getting warmer. And you look at like Manhattan, New York City, the difference between the pier and the land is not that much. It becomes very apparent when you take a really good look at where this thing is headed.
Yeah, we have a lot of low-lying areas. Yeah. And about 40% of the world population lives within 60 miles. Of a coast.
Harbors.
Yeah. So commerce, we depend on our ocean health for, you know, literally our houses and the places where we live and work and play and the food that we eat. So taking good care of those oceans is actually taking good care of people too.
Yeah. Well, the book is called The Atlas of Disappearing Places. I do suggest you pick it up. Let your family peruse this, and then maybe we can all get listen to this book analogy. Maybe we can all be on the same page someday. Ooh, you can use that if
you
like.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, did
you? Oh, I can do it. Maybe we can all write the next chapter together.
Oh, she did it too. She did it too. All right. Is there a website that we can
Thanks
visit?
Thanks for having me.
Is there a website we can
visit?
Yeah,
actually. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can visit marinafaros.com. So my full name. I'm also on Twitter. And you can also purchase the book everywhere books are sold. My favorite option would probably be to call up your local independent bookstore and get it from them.
Excellent. Pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that happens, I wish you peace.